Beware the beep boop.
Seek the explication.
Guard against expertise temptation.
Pursue the grind loop.
Hey, that's ABBA. A rhyming couplet?
I believe it's a quatrain.
All this and a good deal more after the break.
Welcome back, all you beautiful people. Today we're talking sweet spot instruction. As always, I'm Nick. That's Eric. We're the Get Good Guys.
And this is the Get Good Guide.
I was expecting go.
We're rolling.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. You're sounding a little extra fancy today.
Yeah, there's a timbre to my voice, which I think everyone will appreciate. It's called being sick for 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's called having kids, I think.
About four too many kids.
Only a few too many.
Yeah. We're talking about, Alex, our colleague, talks all the time about what's the right number of children. It's one less than you have. We're talking about sweet spot instruction.
Indeed.
And what exactly is that?
Sweet spot. We talk often in, you know, we talk in the podcast, you and I talk pretty often about this idea about trying to find people who know more than you, in your kind of chosen goal or chosen skill, but aren't so far afield that a lot of the information that you might still need, they take for granted or is kind of second nature to them. And of course, finding someone, you know, far enough past where you are that they have an idea what they're talking about as well. And that might be a pretty large sweet spot, as it were, depending. But often it's going to depend a lot on the person, the, we'll say, expert's ability to kind of break down information and see those different pieces.
Definitely. Yeah. And we'll talk, I think, a lot about instructors and teachers, mm-hmm. but I think also this is as valid for resources.
For sure.
Right. So if you're in the middle of a grind loop and you've got, 9-minute resources that you're going to resources that are so advanced and so expert that you maybe can't even access the information inherently is not particularly valuable, mm-hmm. right? In a perfect world, you'd stay right in that sweet spot in the zone of learning.
Yeah.
Between comfort and frustration.
Yeah. And we talk about this, this idea where as you grow and as your skills grow and develop, our brains are very, very good at combining tasks.
Right.
And those tasks, we kind of eventually forget that they're combined.
Mm-hmm.
They start to become one thing or a few things instead of a combination of a bunch of small parts that we've put in from the beginning.
Yeah, if you've ever tried to learn to play Minecraft from your child, and they will go like, well, just move up there. And you're like, what? How?
Okay.
And just move. Yeah. Just move. And you're
just
like,
be
how
less
do I?
Old.
And you know what they don't say is like press W, and then when you come up on an obstacle, tap the space bar, and then move the mouse so that you know, because those are in their minds just they're so basic and combined, you know, that they're not several tasks anymore.
Well, and they have so many hours in that you know, likely in this case, that to them it is one thing.
Right, and there are times when that it's not like a deal breaker, right? Or a game ender, as we say. It's not like, oh, I could never learn. I could learn. It's just about efficiency.
Yeah.
If someone takes the 3 minutes, or probably not even the 90 seconds, to explain to me WASD, you know, the sort of the left-handed keyboard movement and how a mouse can move my field of vision, that's a pretty standard video game thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once I have that in my head, even once, you know, as a combined task, well, then I'm good to go.
Yeah.
From then on, any other instruction about virtually any video game, someone can say just, well, move, and I can do it.
Yeah. Well, and that's the reason the video games tend to be that way, mm-hmm. right? They tend to all kind of piggyback on one another for that reason, to make it accessible.
And it's interesting, too. Usually, it's with video games, it's maybe not this way, because I think video games did intentionally standardize that.
For sure.
Or video game designers, because obviously accessibility is crucial.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But there are some things that are kind of universal or nearly universal because they are true, like especially if it involves physicality.
Mm.
So virtually any athlete, you could yell at them, show me an athletic stance.
Sure.
And they will get into kind of all the same looking you know, like body posture.
Yeah, our body, you know, the way the human body is built, that's our most, you know, apt way to move.
Yeah. 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 Feet shoulder width apart, right? Sink your hips, bend your knees, but not too much, right? Relax your hands.
Yeah. And you can even, someone who has no athletic background, you could say, okay, jump as high as you can, but you can't bend your knees. And they're going to be like, well, this is ridiculous. Right. This makes no sense. You don't need a big athletic background to know a lot of those things. We've all been living in our bodies since we've been here. And those things start to, you know, come pretty naturally over time.
Yeah. So when you're trying to find sweet spot instruction, we have a couple of things you saw in the crash or heard in the crash in there that we have kind of shorthand for that just in conversation over the years. And actually, I think Beep Boop came from Jordan originally.
another friend of the show.
Yeah. And a very solid miniatures painter and a very talented, all kinds of stuff, but musician. And he, we talk about when you're trying to learn something from someone and they'd be taking through the steps.
Right.
Like step one would be basic. Step two would be basic. Step three. Okay, great. And then all of a sudden they go, and then you just go, beep, boop. And then it was like, you blinked and they were done. And they were like, what, wait, what? Go back to that part where you said beep, boop. What was that? And this is true. I mean, it's so true that it's even become kind of a meme, where, you know, people will, you're watching a tutorial and the drawing looks just like your drawing. And then they like, it's almost like they cut away and cut back and there's this, like they're done and it's perfect.
Well, and especially I'm sure it's more of a thing now, because you're watching so many people do things who are good at doing things, but maybe not as adept at teaching those things. So they've figured out how to do it, but not maybe how to communicate that information. Or even if they have, it's just, well, like we talked about before, those skills have become so combined in their brain that that feels like one thing to them.
Yeah.
There are kind of two types of this, I feel like, of this beep boop, where one is this idea where these tasks have kind of become combined or into a much more straight path than they really are.
Sure.
In the, we'll say, expert for ease of communications mind. But the other one, I think, is also just practice. So some of it, those extra things might be like brush control, for instance.
Right.
And some of those beep boop moments, there might not actually be anything all that different happening. It's just happening more effectively.
Right.
And being able to recognize that is also pretty interesting. If there's, listen, there's no steps in between here and there. There's doing more of this thing. And we talk about kind of pursue the grind loop.
Yep.
Whereas there's no, you may have found all the steps or at least all the logical steps, but you need to do it still.
Yeah.
It's not like you can, okay, now I see the plan, but you still have to, I see the map, I still gotta go there.
Yeah, you still gotta grind at times. Yeah, I think it's an interesting thing. Let's talk about that for a second here. The couple of maybe three sort of beep boops that I have encountered. One, your instructor or the resource that you're using they're unaware of combined tasks.
Right.
And so the answer to that is like, okay, decombine the tasks and then work on the tasks separately until you're ready to combine them. Two, the instruction of the resource assumes more time in. They assume that you've done more grind than you have. And then three, I think there is a sort of like, perhaps the expert has either never had to or hasn't had to deal with a particular problem set in so long.
Sure.
That they just forget that it's part of the process. So I'll use two extremely different examples.
Yeah.
One, I used to coach with a guy who was a Division I linebacker, and he used to, honest to God, he would say to like a JV kid, like, okay, so, you know, when the ball snapped, right, your eyes snap to your key. If he steps down, right, you're going to take a slide step and then just get in there and dominate. And like, that was his coaching point.
Just get in there and dominate,
right? Just stick your nose in and just dominate. Yeah. And the kid was like, I'm 124 pounds. but in his mind, like that was, well, dominating has never been a problem for me.
Right.
I think the other sort of wildly different example is when you're trying to teach your father or grandfather how to like save a PDF, another meme. Is that they like, you go like, well, just save S. Right?
I don't know.
And they're like, I don't know what that means. Right. Anyone else would go, well, you click file and on there, there's going to be a series of things and some of them will change. But by and large, there's always going to be two options, save and save as. And then of course, when you save as and they're like, do I change the file name? And you're like, no, you changed the file type, man. Come on. But for you, instructionally, you've forgotten that those tasks are part of the process.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. And one, especially like the both of these concepts, but especially the first one with football stuff, that shorthand is something you see a lot of with kind of the beep boop idea or kind of someone who's very adept at the thing, is we kind of accumulate this shorthand for things, for phrases, for activities, for whatever, that might be very well known for people in it.
Right.
But those things alone are also just, you have to learn those things.
Yeah, there's learning the language.
Yeah, of, right. Yeah. You know, if you hit me with four or five football terminology, little like quips, and mm-hmm. I'm like, well, I don't know any of those terms.
Yeah.
But if you explain each thing, well, maybe I can do each thing.
Yeah.
So that's something as well.
Well, and sometimes those are even deployed in an exclusionary fashion mm-hmm. by people within
a specialty. Oh, I think very often, actually.
Yeah, right. They want to make it opaque because for whatever reason that feels good or feels better. And yeah. and that's not always true. I don't mean to say that universally. No. We talked about like the change over time between guild secrets and now where for you can sure. find anything.
For sure.
Well, maybe we'll talk about that more on the Patreon because I have a example about that to share.
Yeah, we actually run into this a lot in my one of the things I teach is just dance. We run into this quite often, which mm-hmm. so maybe we'll talk about that on Patreon too. We're kind of close on time, but should we do a very, very quick touch maybe on expertise temptation?
Yeah. I think that's it's incredibly important for sweet spot instruction to seek instruction over expertise,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's tempting, I think, to say, well, I'll just find the best person in the world. And yep. that's who will teach
obviously.
Me. Yeah, perfect. Except that person is very likely not a talented instructor.
Yeah.
And so it becomes much more a question of, can I find someone who knows substantially more than me, but can modulate that knowledge mm-hmm. to the exact sweet spot where I, you know, just above where I currently am, and keep modulating that as I grow.
Yeah, well, and this is the reason, like with education, for instance, the higher up in education you go, the less teaching requirements there are for the professor.
Right.
You know, is if you're a PhD student, that professor needs a lot less teaching experience and a lot more informational knowledge versus middle school teacher or a kindergarten teacher who really what their expertise is in teaching mm-hmm. is not in the field of what they're teaching.
Yeah, decidedly so. You know, we're both educators and we have a great many colleagues who are educators. I am married to an early elementary educator mm-hmm. and she is far and away the best teacher I know.
Sure.
And if you're looking for instructional capacity, look younger.
Right.
And that's maybe not a bad rule of thumb if you're going to go out to learn something and think about, okay, can I find someone who is actually a teacher?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that is the skill set of teaching.
Yeah. And now that doesn't hold true. It's not like every teacher will always be able to do this. But, you know, it is true of kind of like the learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you know, the more you can kind of sift and decipher things on your own, the less you need to be kind of, I don't mean it to sound negative, but I'll say spoon-fed the information.
Yeah, definitely. All right, friends. Well, we've got a few things to talk about on Patreon, but we will see you in the outro. Well, gee, thanks, everybody. Sure do appreciate you taking the time. And as we noted in the content there, we do have a number of examples to touch on in the Patreon, so we would invite you to join us over there, patreon.com/getgoodguide. As always, you can check out the center of the Get Good Galaxy over there at getgood.guide. Get yourself a copy of the guide, downloadable, printable. Get going on your Get Good goal. As always, I'm Eric. That's Nick. We're the Get Good Guys.
And this is the Get Good Guide.
If you step on my line one more time.
We'll see.
While I'm sick. I'm out here playing hurt, and you're screwing around.
Everybody thinks they're a hero.
Some of us are. All right? There aren't zero heroes in the world.